Hello, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Promise meeting. If you can take a seat, that would be great. Welcome to the Intergroup's annual Promises meeting. My name is Sheila Tejada, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Hi. Whatever problem you may have with food, you are welcome here in Overeaters Anonymous. We in OA believe this to be the life-saving program. While members may differ in many ways, we are united by our common dis-ease and by the common solution we have found in the OA 12-step program. At this time, we ask that all cell phones be turned off and that there be no private conversations or crosstalk. Will those who wish please join me in the serenity prayer? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I cannot change, the courage to change the things that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done. Okay. I will now pass this basket to the evening speakers and ask that that each of them select one folded piece of paper on which is written the promise that you will speak on. And then there's a sheet there that if you can write your name by the promise that you were chosen, that would be great. Okay, and while they're doing that, our disease is threefold, mental, physical, and spiritual. We have found that unless we adjust our personality on all three levels, permanent abstinence will continue to elude us. From our experience, it is only total abstinence from compulsive eating that enables us to work on the real problem, which is ourselves and our thinking. I have asked Diana to please come up and read How It Works from Chapter 5 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous.
Hi, I'm Diana Grateful, recovering compulsive overeater, bulimic. How it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program, usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to take certain steps. At some of these results, we thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we cannot. With all the earnestness of our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was no until we let go absolutely. Remember that we deal with food, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for us. There is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures availed us nothing. We stood at the turning point. We asked his protection and care with complete abandon. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order! I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description to the overeater, the chapters to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were compulsive overeaters and could not manage our own lives. bees that probably no human power could have relieved our overeating, and see that God could and would if he were sought.
As a result of diligently working this 12-step program of recovery, pages 83 and 84 of the book tell us that if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. That is the first of the 12 promises. Each of our speakers will have 8 minutes to share their experience, strength, and hope on how they the promise they have randomly selected has manifested in their lives. You will be reminded at 7 minutes that you have 1 minute to wrap up. Our first speaker for this evening is Dara. Please come up to the podium now.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. My name is Dara, and I'm a compulsive overeater. Good evening, everyone. I'm so honored to be here. When I was asked, my first response was no, but I can find you somebody, and I did, and then I remembered what this program is all about, and what I've been taught to do is to share what I've learned here, and if you're asked to be of service, you say yes, so here I am. Anyway, I'm curious, are there any newcomers here this evening? So raise your hand. Okay, welcome. Happy to have you here. So, sorry you heard this promise, but I'm going to read it again. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. Well, that gives me a lot of hope because I don't know what halfway is. I've been in program since 1998, so that's about 18 years, and I plan on living at least another 30, 40 years, so I'm not even halfway. But it's, you know, this program... I was speaking with a friend of mine this morning who's not in program. She's a very spiritual person but has no contact with this. And, you know, her comments were, yeah, I would like to have a community. I need a community. And that's what I found here. That's what we are. I'm going to try to stay on track. I was thinking about during the whole election cycle, that whenever there were debates or whatever, whatever question would be asked of a candidate, they just said whatever they wanted anyway. So that's making me a little bit less nervous about this whole process. But I'm so happy to be doing this. And, you know, it is an amazing thing because what my life was like before I came in the doors in 1998, it was hellish, and it was... There was just so much fear and anxiety, and my life was so focused on the size of my body and food and just this tiny little life and taking diet pills and being thin for, like, you know, 2 days and then gaining weight. And, you know, when you live that way, it's kind of like being a, you know, an army brat or something, that you don't really know where do I live, you know, and who am I. And I was fortunate that things got bad enough for someone to direct me to be here. And I understand now that the things I did with food, it was done as a protective measure. And I'm glad that it was that because it could have been a whole lot worse. There were a lot of other things that, you know... there was a liquor cabinet available to me, but I guess if it's part of your genetics and your makeup and whatever it is that gave me personhood, it was always about food. So here's something that is amazing. Okay, 7-Eleven. I'm sure you've heard of these places, fast food chains. And whenever I would go somewhere, particularly if I would go somewhere like to a girlfriend's house, say, and, you know, we'd have a nice evening, chatting, whatever. My very vivid recollection was that whenever I would leave my friend's house, I was stopping at the first 7-Eleven. And then I would do these things, kind of like these colorful arrangements of, you know, the chocolate with the hot tamales, with, you know, a lot of different foods because I wanted variety. And, you know, and now it seems funny, but then it was, you know, it was that need for whatever it was that was in my head of feeling not understood by my friend, this condition that I don't even know who I am. And that was the way that my life went. So during the day, people would never know that I was that person, but leaving work or in the evening, I guess when it got dark maybe, that's when the demons came out. And to me, it's a miracle now that I can walk into any store, and particularly down the aisle where there's candy and stuff like that, it doesn't affect me. And I never thought that could happen, because every time that I was in that thing of watching what I was eating, if you're watching what you're eating, you don't know where you're going. You know, it's like being on my cell phone all the time, and it's like, oh my God, I hit the car in front of me. And that I think that's pretty much what the rhythm of my life was. So, I mean, there's so much to say. I don't know how you squeeze in, you know, 18 years of being in a program, but I'll share this with you. Going back to my first instinct to say no, I don't, you know, I can't do this, is that one of my biggest resentments and fears is that I've been invisible, that people don't see me. And then my other resentment and fear is that I want to be seen, but I really don't want to be, because I'm so uncomfortable being around people. Human beings are very frightening to me, and I'm a human being, so I frighten myself. And it's really kind of a conundrum. I don't think it's that rare. I think that maybe a few of you can relate to this, maybe not to the degree that I have this thing, but it's such a isolation gets you nothing. Being out in the world and feeling unsafe sent me to 7-Eleven. So to be able to be here, knowing that I have a higher power, and all I need to do while I'm speaking for my 7-8 minutes is to get out of my own way and to be a good radio. And this was not my experience in doing anything where I was seen and heard and being recorded. Oh my, you know, was that being overly self-conscious, it's a disconnector from a higher power, because that's being willful. And the reason that I've had the physical recovery that I've had, the emotional recovery, anything else that's come along the way, it's because of those first three steps. I am powerless over most stuff. I am powerless over food. I'm powerless over other people. I'm powerless over time. I'm powerless over money, the ebb and flow, the economy. Whoa, 1 minute left. All right, I need to say something that's going to be significant. Well, I hope, this is my hope, that even if it's just the one person in this room, that you don't go home and stop at a 7-Eleven and buy a Sara Lee frozen cheesecake, get it home and eat it while it's still frozen, because that's what I did. So if just one person doesn't do that, what I've been asked to do here this evening is, I'll feel like I have been of service. I'm so grateful to be here and honored, and this program has, I hear other people say it, it's true for me. It's given me a life. It's given me a purpose. It's given me more than I ever expected, and I hope that I'm able to, in some way, shape, or form, give that back and share with other people. And to the people who come before me, thank you so much for providing an example, an inspiration. And for you newcomers here, thank you so much for being here, because thank you. That's a smiley face. Right. Have a good evening.
Okay. Now Roberta is going to speak on Promise 2. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness.
Hi, everybody. I'm Roberta, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Really thrilled to be here, and thank you for asking me to speak, Kathleen. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. You know, I thought back in the day when I was eating that freedom was just eating what I wanted, when I wanted, and I didn't want a diet, I didn't want any restriction at all. And it is so not that way. It is so the reverse. The freedom came when I finally surrendered and said, I can't do this alone. A higher power has to guide me, has to help me to get my food in order. And the freedom that I know today is just, it's hard to describe because, like I say, I thought I was a free person doing what I wanted to do, but I learned in this program that I need discipline, I need direction, and every time that I give something up, I get another freedom. And it starts even with the food. I'm maintaining between a 90 and 100 pound weight loss for the last 14 years, and I'm eternally grateful. I've been in the program since 1979, so I had a lot of years of recovery and relapse until 14 years ago when the spiritual finally connected with me, and I have a personal God. And the freedom that comes from knowing that I'm not in control, I can't drive the car on my own, I need help. I heard a wonderful speaker this morning, and she was talking about the fellowship. And to me, the fellowship is half the program. The steps are my guide. That's how I work my life now. They are my design for living, as it says in the big book. But the fellowship is so important. And this afternoon I was feeling a little bit like not in the fellowship. The meeting I went to this morning had a great speaker, but there's not sharing at the meeting, so sometimes I walk out feeling kind of, I didn't really connect. I need the fellowship. And that's why when I moved to LA 3 years ago, I jumped right into service. I need to be in the middle of the herd. I didn't want to sit at the end because I need to be surrounded by my people. And the freedom that I got from this program is doing the right thing, doing the next right thing, always looking with a positive attitude. I was a very negative, pessimistic, gloomy person. I always saw the glass as half empty. And I was even sharing with people this evening, I am blessed that I can eat a lot of different foods. And I can eat a half a bagel with lunch, I was saying, and I'm thinking, why can't I eat a whole bagel like they do? You know, instead of being grateful, I've got to constantly tweak my mind and change it. And the happiness, you know, the big book says on page 133, happy, joyous, and free. God wants us to be happy, joyous, and free. Not resentful, not remorseful, the way I used to wake up from my binges and, you know, okay, today I'm going to do it, and then by 11 o'clock or 3 o'clock, I was back into the bags and boxes. So the happiness I know today is staying in the day. I learned in this program that it's a one day at a time. Doesn't matter if I have 14 years. All I have to do is stay focused on today and make today the best day I can. And it's a choice. I choose to be happy. I love when in Just for Today where it says, Abraham Lincoln said, we are happy as we make up our minds to be. So I can spoil it by getting into gloom and doom and worry and fear. And I choose today to just change that channel. When those voices come, and they will come, because it says in the big book, you know, when this happens, like even on the 10-step promise, you know, when these things happen, not if they happen, it's going to happen. I'm going to get resentful. I've got to take care of it in the moment. So knowing a new freedom and a new happiness, for me, it happened to be that I have even a freer way with food now than I did for many years. Abstinence changes. Food plans change. We all have our own path. The bottom line is honesty. What is my honest relationship with food?
And today, I can eat anything. I can eat sanely. I don't choose to eat a lot of things because then the freedom kind of goes away. If I stay away from certain foods, I have that increased freedom. And there's nothing, as people say, you know, that tastes as good as abstinence or freedom feels. The happiness I know today, I moved to L.A. because my daughter moved here, and nobody was left in New York. And anyway, my house was hit with Hurricane Sandy. There were just a lot of things that just kind of made me realize that, you know, I'm free to move. Just because I lived there for 73 years doesn't mean that I have to stay there. So my son moved to Israel, my daughter moved to L.A., and I knew that I wanted to be near one of my children anyway and visit the other one. And I live now in the same building. I have, like, time with my grandson, who's 13 months old. Like, I can't describe it. I had to rearrange my fancy calls. I used to do it between 8 and 9 in the morning, but now my daughter wants to come up with the baby between 8 and 9, so I'm texting my sponsees, and now I'm going to make my times between 9 and 10. Because knowing a new happiness means being able to enjoy life, not just in the rooms, but outside the rooms with our families. This program has given me so much. I could never repay it. I do a lot of service. I sponsor a lot of women because I like the connection. It keeps me close. It keeps me, thank you. It keeps me connected. That's the biggest thing. You know, addiction is isolating and it keeps me separate. And I can go into a room and be separate by judging and criticizing. And those are some character defects that I keep asking my God to remove from me. They don't do me any good. And I want to be connected. And that is what this program offers us. We can be as connected as we want to be. We can go to a meeting. We can go out for fellowship afterwards. We can, you know, make a whole life with new friends, and I'm just so grateful for this program. It teaches me to live in the day, to be accepting with things are exactly the way they're supposed to be. I was nervous all day thinking about which promise am I going to get, and I love Dara saying it doesn't matter, you can just talk about anything, and thank you so much for letting me share.
Okay. Please welcome our next speaker, Carlo, who will share on Promise 3. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it.
What's up, OA family? So honored to be here. Let me know if you hear me all right. First off, I'll just start by saying I have experienced the promises, and I would be doing a disservice to you guys to not let you know how I got that. So I love the big book. And basically, the promises come halfway through the ninth step. So it says when we're halfway through, that's for the ninth step, which is clearing house, making amends. I was a thoroughbred addict. You know, like hardcore, you know, just doing all, you know, juvenile delinquent. So, so that all these promises really started to come true as I took that spiritual lesson, that step seriously, because it wasn't just about, you know, coming in and like doing the food plan and all that stuff. So anyway, with that said, this is where it comes after the ninth step. And with that said, it is pretty amazing. We will not regret the past nor to shut the door on it. So when I came in the program, I had the like, hey, like, look at me syndrome, you know? Like, I was like trying to look good on the outside, you know, but like maybe having shame on the inside. So, when I grew up, I was like super hardcore guy, you know, like caused a lot of fighting, you know, did a lot of like, I was a thief. I was mean to a lot of people, you know, I was like acting out. So how I look at that now is like, I was a drug, I sold drugs. You know, I did all this kind of stuff. You know, I didn't know, like, I didn't know how I could, like, live in society. I didn't know that, like, I could have things, like, the way other people were. I thought I was on the outside. So I was acting out. So the cool thing is, like, now I've gone through the steps, and all that stuff is, like, the past. But it's a cool part of my past because, like, I'm a different guy. You know, I treat people with respect. I, you know, I'm more than halfway through my amends. So I can own all that and, like, a way that helps a lot of other people. And it's a shame, I think, is one thing that, like, stains a lot of us. And you know, I think it's a huge core in addiction. And it's so easy just to be like, you know, I got it all together. Or, like, you know, another thing, I dealt with a lot of learning disabilities. I dealt with a lot of health conditions. So, it's like, I was always kind of like, yeah, you know, like, I don't have anything, you know what I mean? But, like, I go home inside and, like, go home after, you know, a long day and, like, binge my brains out because I was feeling stuff that I wasn't letting anyone know about. I wasn't getting help. So the cool thing about all this is, like, the program has given me the ability to get healing, remission, you know, freedom from all that. And now that stuff is, like, a thing of the past, and I can, like, own it without shame and also, like, help other people. So I think it's a beautiful thing. And also just all that stuff that I was doing before, I was always a fighter. You know what I mean? Like, people didn't really understand me. So I was like a fighter, you know. But back then, I was fighting other people. Now it's like, oh, okay, I have this program. My creator is, like, the only person that, like, I turn to for, like, the ultimate acceptance. If someone doesn't accept me, I'm not going to fight them. But I can use that fighting in a good way to fight to get myself better, to fight to get abstinent from food, to fight to get through a health condition, to fight to make money, to fight to be creative, to fight to not be oppressed, and just stand up, stand my ground. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I just think it's beautiful, and you know, all the things that I went through in the past are definitely helping me. You know, a lot of the things that I thought were, like, my curse end up being my blessing. Hard things end up making you strong if you stick with it and get through it. You know, you get, like, some tough skin, and so I just feel like, you know, it's a beautiful thing, and you know, the step 9 is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful process. Clearing up the path and continuing to make living amends is a huge part of that. So I'll just stop early and just say that basically clearing up my past, continuing to learn from the way that I've hurt people before, and learning from that in my inventory, making direct amends to the people that need to, but then also seeing when new people come into my life, it's like a repeat. It's like, oh, this is a new person. I could do the same exact thing I did. I could use them. Okay, I'm going to use this person. How can I take from them? But that's not my spiritual program anymore. You know, I learned that I can give, and I can give equally. So now having, you know, being able to see that and do that with everyone around me, to the best, you know, I'm definitely not perfect by any means. You know, that's why it's a spiritual program. You know, we can't see everything. So I also think it's this is interesting because I also believe, like, my firm belief is that addicts are people that are, like, very spiritual. So we get given these, like, things that we're powerless over, that if we didn't have them, I wouldn't have turned to spirituality. I would have been all about, like, hey, look at me, look at the money I got, and, you know, look how cool I am, or, you know, look at the career I have. But I have this thing that stopped me from being able to do that because it was blocking me. So it made me turn to humility. And if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be humble, and I probably would be hurting people and, you know, be causing all those kinds of wreckage. So I just think it's great. And the ability to continue to try to share my higher power with grace through my actions and my everyday is a beautiful thing. And just, you know, living the 10th, 11th, and 12th, after we're halfway through, you know, continue on the work, which is taking inventory, keeping a connection to our higher power through meditation, and spreading the 12-step message of recovery. So I haven't binged or overeaten for 7 years, and life is, man, it's a freedom. So there's so much to be grateful for. Thank you. Sure.
Now we're going to hear from Ron on Promise 4. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace.
Uh, Hi, everybody. I am R, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. And I am, you know, the randomness of all this is really wonderful. It is. Initially, I didn't, you know, I thought, no, I've done this before. I don't want to do it again. But then I remembered that it's not far from Tito's Tacos. No, just kidding. But seriously, you know, food for me began very early. My need for food began very early in my life. I can remember being 5 years old and sitting in our little, there was like a dinette hutch in the kitchen. Older houses, they had that. And just finishing breakfast, and my mother was at the stove doing something. And, you know, every day what I was fed was completely different than the day before. It was very interesting. And I looked at my mom and I said, after eating breakfast, what's for lunch? You know, like I couldn't wait. Actually, what was going on was, looking back, I was just lonely. You know, there was that God-sized hole in me that people talk about. And I didn't know how to deal with it, except I enjoyed eating. You know, step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of working these steps, that's something that I discovered very slowly, actually. I've also had a spiritual experience, which is like a burning bush experience. And it happened just once, and it has not happened again. But through working the steps, through surrendering myself to a power greater than myself by taking a rigorous moral inventory and handing it over to somebody else and asking God to lift my, you know, character weaknesses and making amends. My favorite amends is the living amends, you know. Rather than just saying it, I like to, you know, be in the spirit and not repeat it, you know, especially with family and close friends. You know, this piece right here, the word serenity, I can remember being in my 30s and looking outside one day at the house next door and thinking, that little stairway over there, if I ever become homeless, maybe I can stay under that stairway, you know. Now, this thought came to me, even though I had a professional license, and the likelihood of anything like that was pretty remote, you know, I still had those thoughts. And part of those thoughts stemmed from my behavior. I was taught very young to be skeptical of things. My dad was metaphorically, excuse me, he was a horse trader. And he always taught me that if you don't see what's wrong with the horse when you're getting in there, you know, it's going to bite you on the backside. So I had this very, as was said earlier, this the glass is half empty philosophy about things, which did me a lot of good, okay? I mean, there is that part of being judgmental that does protect you, you know? But it was a little too much in my case. I went a little bit too far with it. You know, by examining myself and changing my behavior, and I'll go further into my behavior. people would come to me sometimes for professional help, and they would say, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this. And I was such a codependent sort of bleeding heart that I used to creatively, without any evidence, any real evidence to substantiate what I was doing, I would creatively help them out of it. And so instead of, what I'm saying is I stole, okay? Yeah, from the IRS, okay? However, you know, I sort of thought of myself as like Robin Hood, you know, which made it justifiable. But I came to really despise what I was doing because it was really against my moral conscience to do it. So I changed that right away, you know, and lo and behold, things turned around. You know, I came to really embrace what I was doing instead of wanting to run from it. And this helped me, you know, gain a sense of serenity and to feel peace. And, you know, I have asked God to lift my shortcomings, and in part that has happened, I'm grateful to say. I'm in the process of, on the other side of my brain, I'm in the process of writing a novel, and I'm almost finished with it. And it's very actualizing for me to do that, regardless of what the outcome is, because it expands who I am, you know. Excuse me. So, I am really 1 minute, okay. I was slow to learn just how wonderful it is to have a we program. Now, I've always been dependent upon myself, and so I'm thank you, everybody. I'm just grateful for everything that everybody says, and I don't want to leave this podium with something wise. Something that'll, you know, cause everybody to go, ooh. But I'm going to tell a joke. Okay? Yeah. There were four surgeons sitting around. And the first surgeon said, you know, I really like to operate on accountants. Well, why? Well, because when you open them up, everything is numbered. Okay? And the second surgeon says, well, I don't quite agree with you. I like to operate on, and I'll wrap it up, on electricians, because when you open them up, everything is color-coded. And the next surgeon said, well, I don't quite agree with you. I like to operate on librarians, because when you open them up, everything is in alphabetical order. And the last guy says, no, you guys got it all wrong. I like to operate on politicians, because when you open them up, there's no guts, no spine, no heart, and you can interchange their face and their butt.